everybody, welcome to We're So Xmas. I know it's a little weird to be hearing me right off the bat here, but Heather is unfortunately under the weather, which is not a great way to spend the last Monday before Christmas, but sometimes it's how you get dealt. So since Heather's not here, I invited a very special guest who hit me up, I'm going to say about 2 weeks ago, and said that he wanted to discuss quote unquote the best Christmas movie ever made. And so in my head I'm like, I don't know, is that A Wonderful Life? Is that White Christmas? Is it like Christmas Vacation? What is it? I'm gonna introduce my brother here, Colby. Colby, tell me what the best Christmas movie ever made is.
The Star Wars Holiday Christmas Special. Or it's just the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah,
I think no mention of Christmas.
There's no mention, and it's nothing to do with Christmas. It has
Life
to do
Day.
With Wookiee Life Day, which according to what I've read on the internet is actually has nothing to do with Christmas at all. It's actually more like Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. But this movie is, it's kind of like Die Hard, traditionally seen as a Christmas movie. So we're going to talk about that today. And this podcast is going to last somewhere between 5 and 500 minutes because
there's a lot.
It's a lot to unpack. This movie's an hour and a half long. Like, think about that. Like, without commercials, it's an hour and a half long. It aired on CBS. So this is like 2 hours long. So we'll get right into it. We normally, traditionally, don't discuss quote-unquote bad Christmas movies on this show. And I would say that the Holiday Special is one of those movies that it's not good. Like, it's in no way good. But it is absolutely so bad that it's entertaining.
Is it?
I don't know. I watched it today. I've never actually seen it before. Like I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and I've never seen this movie before. And I'm a huge Christmas fan.
Times. It's still bad.
It's a lot. It's just like, so I guess as a little bit of backstory, this movie came out in 1978. So right after the first Star Wars movie came out in 1977, and or about a year after, I guess. And the reason they made it was because they didn't want people, like, Star Wars was kind of a surprise hit. Like, I don't know if people know that. Like, Star Wars was not like they didn't make a blockbuster movie and it made a bunch of money. It was like, we made this weird space opera and people liked it. And oh my gosh, what do we do now besides make a bunch of toys? So the idea was they needed to like bridge the gap between this movie and the next Star Wars movie. And this is how they chose to do it with the Wookiee Life Day celebration. So
it is the first appearance of Boba Fett.
It is. We'll get into that, but man, there are some weird decisions made in this movie. Some super
weird.
Really? I guess I should tell you before we get into it. This actually, like, I can't quite tell you how legitimate this is. Like, Harrison Ford's in it, Carrie Fisher's in it, Mark Hamill's in it.
The only person who is not from the main cast that is not in it is Kenny Baker, who was R2-D2.
Yeah, it's because they had a robot R2-D2, which is super weird to me.
I'm pretty sure he was like, no, I'm not doing this.
But C-3PO, Anthony Daniels, is that
Anthony
right?
Daniels, yeah.
Peter
Mayhew.
Tall guy Chewbacca man is in it. B. Arthur's in it. Linkletter's in it. Art Carney. Sorry, Art Carney. The Jefferson Starship is in
uh-huh.
it. It's a legit thing. They preempted the Hulk and Wonder Woman to put this show on TV. It aired exactly once.
Oh,
only
yeah.
Once. November 17th, 1978, day after my birthday. Actually, I was 1 year old and 1 day old the day that this show aired the first time. George Lucas has spent the last 43 years making sure that nobody would ever see this movie again.
There is a rumor that part of the deal for like Disney owning Star Wars is that this would not be released.
I love it. It's I guess we should say too that if we finish this and you're like, well, I've got to see this now, it is very, very easy to find on YouTube. You can literally just go search Star Wars Holiday Special. Look for the one that has in
brackets
the nice version. it is
I, So I will say yes, but some of the other ones are just straight VHS rips. Not as nice quality, but really interesting commercials.
Yeah, because they still have the commercials in. This one does have like the station identification in it, which is very strange. But I mean, you are absolutely watching a show that was recorded to a very early VHS tape, and it looks like it. I would actually highly recommend watching it on a TV instead of on headphones, because the audio is so bad that it is actually kind of uncomfortable to watch on headphones. So this is what we're talking about. Do I recommend that you do this? Absolutely, yes. Do I recommend doing this after maybe you've hit the eggnog a little bit? Also, absolutely, yes. So let's just start out. You want to lead me into the intro to this story, Cole?
Well, so I will ask you, how do you understand what Chewbacca is saying?
Context and miming and well, no, actually, no, actually, that's not true. Han Solo translates everything Chewbacca says for me.
That adds context. So what happens when you take out, say, any human person who speaks English?
Well, so a little aside here, I did a little bit of looking into this on the IMDb. The voices of all of the Wookiees in this movie come from one of two sources. One was the recording of lions and bears at a wildlife preserve in Squim, Washington. In case you're wondering, that little local flavor, Squim is spelled S-U-Q-U-I-M.
Of course.
and the other, the kid Wookiee in this movie was a baby bear recorded at the San Diego Zoo. San Diego Zoo baby bears are maybe the most annoying noise you've ever heard in your entire life. So I guess what I would say is, if you thought you could hear a bunch of bears and lions roaring randomly while kind of pantomiming a little bit and you could get the gist of a story,
that's fine. The first 11 minutes of this movie.
I was watching it. I'm like, what's happening?
It's like the only talking in the first 11 minutes is introducing, you know, Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia, Chewbacca as...
Well, and actually the very first scene you see is Han Solo and Chewbacca in the Millennium Falcon trying to get home for Life Day. So they're like have to run an Imperial blockade to get home for Life Day. And then after that, the next 11 minutes are three Wookiees wandering around the house, like being sad for the most part, I guess. And like, I need to stress the mom Wookiee, I guess Chewbacca's wife.
You mean Mala?
Mala is a very normal-looking Wookiee. I will also say there is no difference in genders between male Wookiees and female Wookiees. Nope. Except Bright and Mary Brooke did point out that she's got kind of like raccoon eyes, like maybe like makeup. Mm-hmm. The dad, or the grandpa,
is horrifying. Why did they choose that as the model?
He looks, but let's be honest, does he look a little bit like dad without his teeth in?
I mean, yeah, that's what it is. It looks like a 110-year-old man without teeth who's just got like that kind of, yeah, that...
It's not good. It's not good. It's
a horrifying Muppet. And
except it's not a Muppet. It's actually not a person in that suit. And then there's the kid, Wookiee, and Brooke's first reaction was, do they grow a neck when they get older? I hope the answer is yes.
Well, and I don't know how to say this nicely, but, you know, the person inside that costume has a certain frame size.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you can't hide that person is a certain frame.
No, no.
They didn't have, like, a 8-year-old kid who could be, like, a tiny, skinny thing. This is just a little... I'm like, they just don't gain weight. They just grow height.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a little weird stature there. I will say, too, the mom, Mala, I guess I should say that. The mom's name is Mala. The kid's name is...
Lumpy.
Mm-hmm. And the grandpa's name is Itchy.
Yep.
And those are all short for things, but they're not any better long, I'll be honest. The mom, though, in kind of a Donald Duck kind of way, does wear an apron when she's cooking, and it makes it look like she might be naked. I'm not a fan.
Well, I mean, can you imagine getting food out of your fur?
It's a good point. It would be awful. Like, it would be absolutely awful. So, something you don't think about.
It's one thing that I never really thought of, and we're like, I don't know, the kid's name Lumpy and the dad's name Itchy. I'm like, well, they call Chewbacca Chewy. And no one questions, like, oh, Chewy. Like, that's not a name. That's a description.
It's a good point. It's a good point. I don't know. It's super weird. Anyway, there's 11 minutes of just them kind of being sad because Chewbacca's not home and they're not sure if he's going to make it. Like, he's on his way. And so then they call Luke Skywalker first, correct?
So can I point out one little thing?
Please, please.
Okay, so I believe Lumpy is sad because Chewbacca isn't there.
Yeah.
And kind of bothering Itchy.
Yeah.
And so Mala sends him out to do the laundry?
I guess, yeah, yeah.
To which my 5-year-old pointed out, what laundry?
They're naked.
Yeah,
what maybe laundry? Maybe it's all
bandoliers?
All bandoliers and aprons. Maybe that's...
like, he's carrying a laundry basket, and it's like, what laundry? And it's like, I don't know.
He also goes and walks on the railing of this incredible... They live in the trees, and I'm like, is something going to happen? And nah, he just walks on the railing for a little bit.
I wrote that down. I'm like, Lumpy on the railing? Question mark? I'm like, why? Like, he looks down and sees that it is hundreds of feet to the bottom, and then just like hops up on the railing. I'm like, where's this going? And the answer is
nowhere.
Absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, it's very weird.
There's no danger. You'd never see that again. I guess he just got down fine.
Very strange. They talk to Luke Skywalker for a little bit. Again, like an
how
aside,
did you like Luke's makeup?
Perfectly, like porcelain skin. Like he looks like, you know, nowadays when they like de-age someone digitally and it looks real weird and awkward. It looks like that, but Luke Skywalker was only like 22. He'd been in a really bad car accident, I guess.
Yes, but I have a question about that.
Yes.
So, yeah, he was in a really bad car accident or
almost
motorcycle.
Died.
Yeah. You can actually, if you notice in Empire, he has a pretty big scar on his head.
Yeah. I always just figured it was makeup.
Well, and it was, I think they, it was, you know, oh, the Wampa attacked him, and that's why he has a scar. So I would understand that they put him in makeup to, you know, cover up all of the things. But my question is this. He is wearing a lot of mascara.
Also true.
They don't need mascara to cover up facial scars.
Maybe he wanted to look pretty, Colby. Don't judge.
He does. He looks like a little porcelain doll.
It's so weird. It's like the only person in this entire show that looks like perfect because of the just terrible VHS cut, but yeah, it's great. No real anything, just like, don't worry, Chewbacca will be home. Like, we needed to get Mark Hamill in this show. There he was.
Maybe that's why Kenny Baker didn't want to be R2-D2. He's like, literally, I'm in this movie for what,
30 seconds?
I don't even beep and boop. What do you need me for?
Is the next scene where Mala tries cooking?
No, that it is Art Carney. He's a merchant on Kaishyk.
For those of you who aren't Star Wars fans, Kaishyk is where the Wookiees live.
That's where
there's
the Wookiees
like
live.
7 Y's in that word.
Uh huh. Yeah. I tried to spell it. I'm like, well, I know what I mean. It's Art Carney trying to sell things to a Imperial guy?
Yeah, really awkward.
And
super awkward.
About 90% of this show feels like we need it to be 2 hours. And it's like, why not make it an hour and cut out things that don't need to be there? And like, we need to make it 2 hours. So you get Art Carney selling, like, I guess you have to show that he's a merchant for some
I think
reason?
So, yeah. It's foreshadowing, essentially. Did we talk about the weird like hologram that Itchy plays with?
Oh no, the circus. Oh yeah, no,
yeah,
the
there's
circus.
Like a weird circus hologram show. Like, so this movie is widely panned. Like, I mean, nobody likes this movie at all. But what I will say about it is that this movie has a very Muppets feel to it. Like the Muppet
it's like, a variety show.
Yeah, it's a variety show. And it, I think the thing is, if you watch the first season of The Muppets, the first season of The Muppets was weird. Like, super, super, super weird. And this isn't really that different. So,
no.
It's maybe not as good as The Muppets, but it's not... Like, there's no reason people should have been...
racist, though.
It's true. Absolutely true. They did... You probably would not need a warning before watching this. But, yeah, anyway, go keep telling me what the show's about, Cole.
Well, there is the circus thing, but, like, yeah, that... It's just literally him watching a bad Cirque du Soleil that is 1970s... I don't even know if that... It's not green screen. It's... I don't know, when you add something into a picture.
It looks very much like the little chess set that they play with in the first movie.
It's chess set looks way better.
True. Well, a different budget would be my guess.
What would you say the budget, like nowadays money, how much did this cost? Because I did the math.
Ooh, million and a half?
In today's?
Yeah.
No. It was $1 million in 1978.
Oh.
It cost $4.2 million now.
Wow. That's, that's, huh.
And it still looks that bad. After you are introduced to Art Carney and his merchant ways, you are introduced to Harvey Korman, who at about this time, the first time I watched it, I'm like, I know Harvey Korman from Blazing Saddles, and that's about it.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
was Harvey Korman doing that they're like, we need him. We need him now. And I would guess that it was because he was in the Carol Burnett show.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah.
It's a variety show. Might as well get him and Art Carney and B. Arthur, who was in Maude 2 years ago, and that's about it.
So can we talk budget again for just a second here?
Uh-huh.
Because I was reading something yesterday, and like 5 years separate these two, okay? So Monty Python and the Holy Grail came out in 1975. This came out in 78.
Uh-huh.
The budget for Monty Python and the Holy Grail was only $400,000. So the Star Wars Christmas special got $600,000 more than Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you can tell they put all of that money into Itchy's suit.
Yeah, and cocaine, I'm guessing.
Oh, I was going to say that this is the, like, holiday special that cocaine built, and I was going to make that joke, and then I learned that Bruce Blanche, who actually wrote this, said, like, oh, yeah, no, I was doing a bunch of cocaine when I was doing that show. So
it's so white Christmas.
It literally is the holiday special that cocaine built. And you can tell when you get to Carrie Fisher's part. Harvey Korman is a robot cook, and dressed vaguely like, I don't know, who was the robot in the Jetsons?
Oh, Rosie?
Rosie, yeah.
Kind of, but doesn't she also look like, isn't there a bad robot, like, villain in Futurama that she...
Does kind of look like Mother.
Yeah.
And I wrote down, like, the times of these because, like, and I was actually shocked because I'm like, these things are, like, 10 minutes apiece. They're not. They're, like, 3 minutes, but they feel like 10 minutes apiece.
Oh, it felt like it went on. It felt like a 22-minute, half-hour cooking show.
It was 4 minutes long.
Wow. It was bad. It was... And the first 2 minutes of it were kind of dumb, and then the last two were kind of funny. Like, the entire joke is that he's cooking, and it keeps getting more complicated and more complicated, but he keeps getting extra arms to help. Uh-huh. So yeah. She's trying to cook with two arms, and he, by the end, has four, and it just all goes sideways. I don't know.
Yeah, and, like, I will say some of the things work, but not any more than, like, a...
No, absolutely not. Laugh. Absolutely, like, not.
There was nothing in there I'm like, well, that was clever and good. I was just kind of like, huh. And this is coming from someone who loves Star Wars.
And bad movies.
I wrote down at 25 minutes, you finally get Han and Chewbacca.
Yeah, no, it was very short. It's like 30 seconds in the very first.
I don't remember that. I'm going to have to check that.
Yeah, I think it was right after the intro credits or maybe right before the intro credits. So,
Then you get, you know, Chewbacca and Han, and I know how much Harrison Ford did not want to do the Star Wars movie. So I can not imagine trying to talk Harrison Ford into the Star Wars holiday special.
In 2015, someone asked him, if they asked you to do another Star Wars special based on the new movies, what would you say? And he said, I would kill myself. So About that much.
But yeah, you get him and it's just like, we'll get you home, like you haven't missed a life day yet, which implies that throughout the entirety of like all of the Star Wars, like they're just hopping back to Kaishyk,
trucking
to,
home like, once a year.
Like, we gotta go. I know that, you know, we've gotta, does like Chewie leave when Han's in Carbonite to
gotta go home for life day, come on.
Can't miss life day, like Art Carney's gonna be there. So you get that, and then it goes back to, I believe, Cliff's favorite part of this, and this is when Itchy, the horrifying grandpa, watches Diane Carroll. And can you explain to me how this works, Cliff?
So the weird merchant guy gives him, like, I guess what I would call a VR headset, and kind of intimates that, like, this is sure going to be something. I wish I could remember his exact words, because it was kind of creepy. Like, if someone gave me this headset and said what he said, I would never have put it on.
I need to watch this.
Yeah. And then I think watches what can only be described as like a VR porn sequence that was allowable to put on TV in 1978, followed by a song. It was like, it was so awkward. And the like kind of, there's no way to say that the lady who was the VR person was weirdly sexy. And the
talking about like, oh, I'm your fantasy.
Imagine if you had to watch your grandpa watch VR porn in a Christmas movie. Or, like, I mean, like, if you had to, you know, if that's what your grandpa got for Christmas, like, your grandpa, for some reason, gets an Oculus for Christmas, sits down, like, on the living room couch right after opening his presents, is like, well, I'll be right back, guys, and then makes a bunch of really weird, like, salacious noises while watching a movie. That's what...
He gets, like, so excited.
It's just weird. And then, but then it goes into this lady singing a song. And I don't remember what her name is. What's her name?
Diane Carroll.
Yeah, and she's apparently
or Diana Carroll.
She's,
I don't know,
famous for a TV show in the 60s. I cannot remember which one offhand. Julia, which was a really popular show apparently in the late 60s, early 70s. So, like, she's a relatively famous actress and singer. Super strange. Like, I wish I could erase that from my head, to be honest.
And then after he's done doing that, we go into Carrie Fisher talking to the, like, the family. And I want to say Carrie Fisher, first of all, just, like, blitzed out of her mind. Like, her drug habits in the 70s were no, like, everyone knows about it. And in this, you can tell it that was, she is on drugs.
It was, like, it was awkward because, so she's talking to the Wookiees and C-3PO is having to translate.
She's, like, vaguely racist towards Chewbacca's kind of family. Like, she goes,
is there
like,
someone
full, like,
else there?
Weirdly, Karen on Chewbacca's family. She's like, is there anyone here who speaks English that I can talk to? Go find someone and bring them back here so I can talk to
them. She's talking
like a normal person.
Slower and louder. But then, is that when the merchant's there? And she's like, oh my.
Finally, someone who I can talk to.
And she's like, oh, she says her friend is here. And like, she kind of puts his arm around him. I'm like, is Chewbacca his wife having an affair with the weird merchant man? Because, like, I've never seen anyone describe someone as my special friend as much as that. It was very strange. Very strange.
I wrote down, we built this Kaishyk on rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
Because for some unknown reason, Jefferson Starship shows up.
VR Jefferson Starship. Jefferson Starship. I think Jefferson Starship might be one of those bands that I have to underestimate just because I'm like, well, they took a really good band, Jefferson Airplane, and then turned it into this weird Jefferson Starship band, which eventually just became Starship. And I mean, We Built the City in Rock and Roll is not a good song, and every other song, but I think that they might have been more popular than
realized. They did like Sarah.
Yeah, I do not like that band. But yeah. Right there in the Star Wars Christmas special.
Singing into a lightsaber.
Because, of course you do. How else would you do it?
And that one actually does go surprisingly long. That one is like a 7-minute song.
Shockingly long, yeah.
Like a not great song either.
No.
Jefferson
Starship. Starship,
yeah. And then we get to cartoons, which is about the only okay-ish part of this entire thing.
It was the weirdest transition, though. Like, I look down for a second, I look up, I'm like, why is this movie animated all of a sudden?
Uh-huh.
And
it's because Lumpy, like, the Imperial troopers show up and are ransacking the house because I think
they're looking for
Chewbacca. Like, yeah. It says that, you know, they're supposed to be, father here, and there isn't. And so they're tearing apart that because I think they suspect their rep. I don't know.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of... There's not a lot of plot to this show.
No. And so they hand Lumpy like a thing to watch cartoons on, I guess. But like, also it seems like it's like contraband because like every time the Imperials come into the room, he like quickly turns it off.
But also, why would you be watching a cartoon of your own dad?
At this point in time, Han Solo's gotten so famous that they're like, we should animate him.
But also, the Han Solo, like, Luke looked pretty much like Luke. Chewbacca looked pretty much like Chewbacca. Han Solo looked like you found the worst caricature artist in the entire world. And they're like, draw Han Solo over there. His face is like 13 feet long. His chin is just obscene. It's real weird. It's super
weird.
That's
kind of how Luke's looks too. Like, kinda. Luke has like that, like, you know, Superman chin.
Yeah, it's like literally that you went to like a carnival and found someone to caricature these characters.
I believe it's the same people who did the Droids and Ewok series.
It is, actually. It is. Yeah, and apparently if you want to watch this separately, I believe this is actually...
This is the only part that, like, anyone is like, okay, we can release that.
Yeah, the weirdest part is that Boba Fett's in it. Like, many, many years before Boba Fett would ever be in a show.
Not really, though.
Really?
He was cut from the first... movie.
Oh, I didn't realize that. See, yeah, Colby, you should all know, Colby likes Star Wars more than anyone I've ever met in my entire life. He's literally wearing a Star Wars sweater. I'm sorry, there's no video. It's a great sweater, though.
Yeah, he was in the first movie and was cut out of it.
Oh, I did not realize. And I guess he is in the second one technically as well.
Yeah, but this was before the second one.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's super strange. But my favorite part about it is Luke keeps calling him Boba. Uh-huh. Which like name is absolutely Boba Fett. Absolutely. But when you just call him Boba, all I can think about is like a delicious drink with little, like, you know, little jelly things in it. And now I kind of want a boba tea, I'll be honest.
I think it's kind of interesting, though, because I always used to call him Boba Fett.
Yeah, I did, too. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. It's all good.
So, yeah, they show up. It's a cartoon about how there's some sort of weird sleeping drug that the Empire is giving to people. And if you put them upside down and get them a serum, they'll be okay.
Super weird.
It is a strange thing. I don't know. Boba Fett's riding a dinosaur.
Of course he is.
It is a fever dream of some sort.
It had a very like heavy metal vibe. Like, mm-hmm. If you've ever seen that movie.
Have you ever seen Star Wars Visions?
I have not.
Oh, it's really good. It's on Disney Plus. It's like a lot of like anime people and stuff that they're like, here, what can you do with like 15 minutes for Star Wars?
I haven't watched it, but my kid has.
And it reminds me of that if that was really bad. Like, if that was done with, like, amazing animation and stuff like that, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of interesting. But, like, it's just bad all around, so it's just bad. But then we get more Harvey Korman. He comes back as a... what is it? Lumpy's thing gets broken by the Imperial. Thing that he's watching cartoons on, and so he gets out the, like, how to fix it that, you know, of course everything comes with, and watches it, and it's a Harvey Korman pretending to be a robot that's skipping and
really
stuff.
Glitchy. It was really strange. It was super
very
strange.
Weird. Talking about how to fix the thing. It's again, it's one of those things that, like, I don't think Harvey Korman really needs to be in this movie. Or he can be in the B. Arthur.
Yeah,
leave the B. Arthur sketch, I guess.
Oh, it's so strange.
Oh,
wait, does he play the guy with the drink in his head?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's foreshadowing, people.
Yeah. Well, that's up next, because up next you get Bea Arthur in the Star Wars
who movie. Has freely admitted the only reason she did this is because her kid really liked Star Wars.
Has Bea Arthur always been old?
Well, I mean, when you really think about it, like, I mean, no, but also, like, this wasn't that long before Golden Girls, really. Like, Golden Girls...
It was
Girls,
10 years.
Was Golden Girls on in the that late?
I think it was 86.
Yeah, so, let's see. Golden Girls ran 85 to 92. So this was only, like, 7 years before she played a retiree in, you know... And, I mean, Bea Arthur is... I mean, she was born in 22, so, I mean, she wasn't actually that old. She was, like, 55. So maybe the answer is yes.
So I've got a question. I've never seen Maud.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But Maud's big story, like, big thing that everyone knows about it is it was, like, the first thing to talk about abortion.
Yeah.
And Maud had to get one. So Bea Arthur would have been like 50 when she did that show.
Well, I mean, she would have been like 40. Yeah, it does seem actually pretty... Okay, you're right. So it doesn't quite add up. But yes, maybe she... I don't know. Anyway, she runs a bar in this.
Yes, she runs the cantina.
Yeah, like I was going to say a bar, the bar.
Bar. They use like all of the old like Star Wars suits and it shows because like Muftok, who's the like white furry guy with the six eyes, his costume is like, did they leave it out in a garbage can somewhere and find it? Because it is bad. Oh. But it's about, like, Harvey Korman walks in, and he was here the other day, and Bea Arthur told him, like, I don't know, like, I'll see you again tomorrow or something, and that was the nicest thing that anyone's ever said. Like, I don't know, this is Harvey Korman is, like, an incel?
Yeah, well, and I mean, I'll be honest, like, if someone at a bar says, hey, I'll see you again tomorrow, that just means you're an alcoholic.
Yeah, and so, like, he thinks that he, you know, she's in love with him, and... Instead, it's like he finds out that she's telling
that's
that
just
to
good
everyone.
Customer service.
Yeah. But also, yeah, as Cliff pointed out, he has like a hole in his head that he drinks through. He's got like a volcano
head. Yeah. Head just pours the drink right into
pours
it.
Pours the drink right
but
into
it. But also
it.
Has a mouth. So.
Yeah. It logic. Yeah, it's great. He leaves and then the Empire shuts down the bar and then Bea Arthur gets to sing.
Full disclosure here, I stopped watching at this point, not because it was so bad, but I just ran out of time.
Disclosure, I stopped taking notes here.
Yeah. Like, are we going to talk about, like, this is a, I don't want to say this is a family podcast, but what I'm going to say is we're not going to tell you what kind of music that Bea Arthur sings in this, because it's maybe not appropriate, but it sounds like jazz.
So the funny
just substituted
thing is,
another vowel.
So the funny thing is that I looked into it and I don't know if it is, because the only thing that I could find out is that Max Rebo plays that type of music.
Ah,
not the Cantina Band.
Ah, okay, fair.
I had always heard it as the Cantina Band played a certain type of music. When it turns out that Max Rebo is the one who plays
Max Rebo is the blue guy. For those yes. that you don't know, he plays like a fluty sax kind of thing.
No, he plays the keyboards.
Oh, he plays the keyboards. Who plays the fluty sax thing? He has a nose that looks like a fluty sax thing.
Max Rebo, Cy Snoodles, and I'm forgetting the last guy.
Yeah. I love that every character in the entire Star Wars universe has a name, though.
I enjoy that at some point in time, like, who's the guy who created Star Wars? George Lucas came, was like, okay, we need to name the music. Let's see, jazz. Okay, what if we just change one letter in jazz and that will be it? And then like 20 years later, he's like, oh no.
It's
oh,
not oh, O or oh, U no. either. No. It's not Y. It's not E. No, anyway.
No. So that was just one of those unfortunate things where it's like, oh, I didn't see that one. Yeah, so that you get her thing. Han shows up, and so you miss like the greatest thing ever. It is certainly a Han shoots first moment.
Oh, good, good.
When so there's a stormtrooper there holding the you know Chewbacca's family hostage, and Chewbacca runs in. Stormtrooper pulls his blaster on him, and like Han sneaks up behind him and I don't know, like kind of kerfuffles with him, and the blaster drops, and Han like fakes going for the blaster, and the stormtrooper jumps for the blaster, but they're out on the, like, where the railing is, and so the stormtrooper ends up, like, falling to his death. But it's very much like a Han... Yeah, you get a Willem scream.
But I was... of course you do.
But, like, Han doesn't go for the blaster, he just, like, faints going for the blaster, and the guy just, like, overcorrects and just throws himself over the railing.
I mean, in
it's very strange.
Fairness, he is a stormtrooper.
Well, and I'm actually thinking that that may be the only reason why Lumpy plays on the railing is to show you that they're high up.
Yeah.
But again, like, I think you can pretty much, if you show, like, because they show that they live in the trees, you don't have to then show me again, like, hey, do you know they're really high up? Like, I can intuit that.
If you're trying to fill up an hour and a half of TV, you sure do. That's a good point. One thing I will say, this is a, kind of a throwback to earlier, but this is something that you will probably know more than someone else. They show up, the Imperials show up at their house, and there's four of them. Mm-hmm. There's very much a, like, an Imperial officer. There's two stormtroopers, and then there's a guy wearing an outfit, and the only way I can describe him is he's one of the guys that when they blow up Alderaan, pushes buttons. Why is he with them? That does not seem like it would be his job.
If I had to guess, it's because they only had so many
four costumes. He walked in, I'm like, this isn't your job. Why are you here?
I got demoted.
Anyways.
I used to be the guy who pressed the button that went...
I used to blow up planets for a living. Now I'm here on Wookiee duty.
And in case anyone's wondering, Droopy McCool is the other band member.
I love it. So Han kills a stormtrooper, which is good. Like, I think you should always probably try and kill space Nazis. Yeah. But is that just...
He's like the space Vermont.
Yeah. Does the movie end then?
No. Unfortunately, then you get like this bad thing where everyone gets like these orbs and goes through a portal. That's bad. Like, again, I don't even know the term for it because like CGI is not necessarily, but like bad green screen
effects. Them walking, there are effects.
Yeah, effects, yes, of them walking through a portal, and then they all show up in their red. Life Day robes?
Yes, of course.
And then Carrie Fisher gets to sing a song.
You know why Carrie Fisher sang a song?
Because she wanted to sing a song.
Because she wanted to sing a song. She said she wouldn't do the movie if she didn't get to sing a song. She did not like the song she got to sing.
It's because it's an awful song.
It's set to the Star Wars theme, loosely.
Kind of. Like, loose. I don't know. It's bad, and like, I feel... Like, I don't feel bad for everyone in that scene, but like, imagine... being on set and Carrie Fisher is again just high on whatever, singing a song, and you just got to like kind of stand there and sway with, I don't know, Itchy and Lumpy and Chewbacca and try not to be like, what am I doing with my life? Like,
is Carrie Fisher a good singer? I don't think I've ever heard her sing before or since.
I mean, like, you know, they had Bea Arthur before, so like,
but I mean, Bea Arthur, I think, actually is a singer, I believe.
Okay.
So, or has a history of singing. Like, I just think it's interesting that she's like, you know, I'm going to shoot my shot and I'm going to shoot it on the Star Wars holiday special.
Her mom was in Singing in the Rain.
That's
which
true.
Is close to singing.
I always forget that her mom is, what's her name?
Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds. Yeah. Yeah. That's,
I mean, she doesn't have like a bad voice. It's just weird.
Yeah. Super weird.
That this holiday special has, two songs in it,
and then does it end?
I mean, that aren't Jefferson Starship.
That aren't Jefferson. So three,
three songs.
Huh.
Yeah. Then it just kind of ends.
Weird.
And everyone, I assume, in 1978 was just like, "Huh, what was that?"
Yeah.
Because it's not good.
George Lucas walks out of interviews if people ask him about it. Apparently the only person that actually really kind of had a good time was Chewbacca, Peter
Mayhew.
He died. It's
because
he
died last year, 2 years ago. Yeah. And it's because he just seems like a pretty good guy. He would occasionally just pop on the Star Wars Reddit board and just like answer questions.
I mean, I think when your entire claim to fame is I was Chewbacca, I'm super, super tall and I was Chewbacca. Like, you know, it's...
I wanted to say, so in Bea Arthur's bar, there's like a tall bouncer owner guy, And I was very curious why they just, it appears that they hired a separate person to play Chewbacca's wife than this person who is also just a tall guy. I'm like, why hire two tall guys, one in a suit? Just put the guy who's not in the suit in there.
Do you assume that I guess that the person playing Chewbacca's wife probably actually was a guy, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I will say he's got kind of he's got kind of a sachet to him. Like, he definitely has a bit of a female Chewbacca walk, so.
Yeah, it was a guy. The only person I don't know, Lumpy was actually a woman, but I don't know about the grandfather.
Oh, it's such a weird show. Like I said, I wouldn't recommend you watch it, but I don't recommend you don't watch it either. Like, there's really something to be said for, you know, I mean, I get to a point almost every Christmas where I've seen every Christmas movie there is to see.
I've
never seen this one. I'm never going to watch it again. I'm like, I guess maybe if it got like an official release, maybe, but probably not.
I've seen it. I think this is my fourth time now. And every time, like, I just kind of trail off in the middle and stop paying attention because it's not.
I think the thing is, like I said, there are movies that are so bad they're good. Colby and I have watched a lot of them. We actually used to do a podcast where we'd watch movies. And there are some really bad movies that continue to be entertaining the entire time because they're just shockingly bad. This one was just like, it just seemed like one big non sequitur. Like, there's no reason all of these things get tied together.
This is apparently what happens when you hire Bruce Vilanch and give him a bunch of coke and say, write a Star Wars holiday special.
But I think on top of that, really I think that George Lucas really probably needs to take a little more credit for this movie than he seems to be willing to, because it was absolutely his idea to set a movie, you know, entirely on, you know, Wookieeville with just Wookiees. People were like, no, this is a bad idea. He's like, no, we're going to make a movie with just Wookiees. And they're like, they sound like they're dogs. Like, you can't talk to them.
I think the thing is, I'll point out the third act of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
That's all set on Endor.
Yeah. You know what I mean, though? Like, it's like this guy. I mean, this isn't a Star Wars podcast, but George Lucas, love him or hate him, like, the guy makes some weird decisions about things. And this was absolutely one of them. So,
I think you could make a good Life Day
movie. Absolutely.
I think this just isn't it. I think the problem is at the time variety shows were
big, huge,
big.
Yeah.
Though I think this is when they started to kind of wane.
Well, I think there was a while where like anyone who is kind of funny could get a variety show. Like, how many people
you mean like Harvey Korman,
yeah,
who had his own variety show for six
for
episodes
for a year
before
or
this?
Two? Like, it was really common for like funny actors to get their own variety show that just lasted for kind of a heartbeat. So.
I will point out, Harvey Korman went from the Carol Burnett show to the Harvey Korman variety show to the Tim Conway variety show.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. I think that was a very, like, 70s to early 80s kind of thing. And, you know, more power to him. So.
But why would you set a Star Wars movie in a variety show?
Why?
I think the thing is you could do this as, like, a probably 45-minute show that was not a variety show that, you know, you just cut out all of the variety show parts and maybe had like the story of Han and Chewie trying to get
back
home
to Coke. Yeah, absolutely.
Thing. Maybe add like, I don't know, just you could keep Art Carney there as the like, what did you say, Mala? Let me be the, you know, right. Exposition here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's
that's all Carrie Fisher was asking for, someone to speak English.
All she was asking for. Overall, it's probably not the worst movie I've seen. It's real close,
it's
though. It's real. It is. I will say it is not the worst Christmas movie I've seen. I've seen a single Christmas movie that is worse than this one, and I cannot remember the name of it. But it was a Wonderful Life, like knockoff set in New York. It was.
Have you seen Christmas Vacation 2?
No, I probably should see that. I should also probably... I did see A Christmas Story 2, though, which was also shockingly bad, so...
Directed by the same guy who did Beethoven.
Yeah, yeah. So, there's some not great ones out there, and this definitely kind of... But, I mean, if you like Star Wars, you should... If you are a Star Wars fan, and you're a Christmas fan... Actually, the second one doesn't matter at all, because it's not a Christmas movie. Nope. It's like a Christmas movie. You could call it a Christmas movie, but if you're a Star Wars fan, everyone should see it once. Just once. That's enough. Yeah.
I will say two things. There is a like 15-minute supercut of the weirdest parts of
Holiday Special.
There's also a Riff Tracks that I've never seen.
Ah, Riff Tracks is good. Those are the folks that did kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000, essentially. It is the first one. Yeah. Yeah. Well, because there's a new one.
Well, it's kind of. Yeah.
So
I mean, there's like several new ones.
Well, the one that was on Netflix like last year before.
Yeah. Same people. Yeah. Bill Corbett did.
Oh, really? Anyway.
I think he was, yeah.
It's good stuff.
I think he was involved.
It would be good. Yeah. You know, so go watch it. If you enjoy this podcast, Colby and I actually do a weekly podcast that you could also listen to. It's not about Christmas. It's about video games. Buymepodcast.com. If you like this podcast, which I assume if you've made it 45 minutes into us rambling about Star Wars, you probably don't hate it. You should go to We're So Xmas. What's our URL? We're soxmas.podbean.com, or you can just look for us on Spotify, We're So Xmas. You can follow us on social media at Facebook and Twitter, and probably Instagram / We're So Xmas. And, you know, we'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully Heather will feel better, or else I'm just going to have Colby again, and I don't know what we're going to talk about. It's this
The Pokemon Christmas CD.
The Pokemon Christmas CD. How, if you had to rate the Pokemon Christmas CD on a scale of 1 to 10, Cole, how many would you give it?
So the first time I heard it, I would say like a 1 or 2, but now I've been Stockholm syndrome into it, because there was one point in time where I listened to it 4 times in a day. So now it's a 10. It's great. I sing it constantly, or it's at least going through my head constantly.
I've watched White Christmas like 5 times this week. That's healthy, right?
No.
Okay.
I would like to know if anyone actually does watch this to respond to Twitter and or Facebook.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know.
Because I'm real curious.
Yeah. Let us know what you think.
No one's going to watch this. It's reverse psychology right there.